Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking. Check out their special White Sox website at www.wintrust.com/sox. Ryan McGuffey with Vinny Duber and Merck. Scott Merkin is joined us here as we get set to embark on spring training, finally. And still nothing has been decided with most of the White Sox. Well, much of the White Sox. The Sox have been one of the most active teams, as we've talked about.
My hypothesis is this. What if Machado and Harper forgo baseball and they're the next True Detective pairing in season four? Is that possible?
I'm into that.
I haven't watched this year's, but I heard it's great.
I have not watched yet either, and I have heard it. I was so turned off by season two.
Yeah, first year was Harrelson and McConaughey. I don't even remember who two was, but
Vince Vaughn had McAdams. But look at us going right into True Detective.
Maybe that's a possibility. You know, Bryce Harper, who's had, I mean, at least externally, has had a blast with this. It seems like what was the tweet he put out after the Super right
loading
minutes after the Super Bowl ended loading.
Loading.
Yep. So maybe he's serious. Maybe he's gonna take a little break, do a year taping, and come back.
I like it. But I don't see how that's possible. But we are going to discuss the top three storylines as players report to Glendale next week. And we're going to each give our take. We'll go 3-2-1. But there's so much that could or could not happen with this roster. Merck, you've covered the team now for 17 years, 18 years?
Let's see.
19 years.
Eight, Ozzy, 5, Robin. And this will be the third for Ricky and one with Jerry Manuel. So 17.
17 years with the White Sox.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time off the top of my head where so much change could happen with a team going into spring training. Can you?
No. I mean, they've made some smaller moves. Remember Jimmy Rollins was a guy they picked up during spring training who ended up being their opening day shortstop. But nothing that could be as franchise changing as this. Now, people need to remember that, and I wrote this today in the mailbag that they were taping this at MLB.com. Even if they get Machado or Harper, it certainly doesn't finish the rebuild. It doesn't guarantee anything past an improved team. You know, both of these guys have played on very good teams in the past and never won. I'm not saying it's because of them exclusively, but it certainly does change the look of things, doesn't it? I mean, if they were to add Machado or Harper come, I don't know, anywhere from now until, you know, let's say February 28th, February 26th, whatever, somewhere in there, you figure these guys need a month at least to get acclimated in spring training, right? So it's got to end by somewhere in late February. I mean, yeah, it's a huge turn for the team. There's no question. I mean, there's never been – is that the biggest – we've all talked about this along the way, but either one is probably the biggest star they've ever added in terms of – maybe Carlton Fisk is the only one that comes close to – you know, that they didn't develop, but they added from outside.
All right, so there's plenty to get to outside of Machado and Harper. We're going to also touch on just briefly the Pecota projections that crapped all over the White Sox. We'll get that before we get out of here. But it's the White Sox Talk podcast, and it starts now.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back, deep to the field.
Holy cow, Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark. You can't put it on the ball.
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk podcast.
All right, so we mentioned storylines, and I'm guessing, and full disclosure, we have not disclosed our storylines to each other. We're going to unveil them here on the podcast, and we're going to start with number three. And I'm guessing that Manny Machado and or Bryce Harper may come up again, just a hunch. But Vinny, let's start with you. The number three storyline as camp opens on Wednesday. I believe Camelback Ranch will be open on Tuesday. You guys will be down there.
Yes.
But we're just a few days away. So what's your number three storyline as the week opens?
I want to see what Dylan Cease can do. I don't think anybody is expecting Dylan Cease to be anywhere but AAA Charlotte when the season actually gets going. He could be on a similar track to Michael Kopech, perhaps see him late in the summer. You know, if he doesn't run into the same speed bumps that Kopech ran into last year, maybe he gets up a little earlier. But Cease was excellent in spring training last year. He was excellent throughout the year last year. This guy is going to be on the Major League roster at some point in 2019, and this is the first taste of 2019 baseball that we're going to see from him, so I'm very excited to see what he can do.
How about you, Merck?
My number three is if I actually make it to spring training this year, since I missed it last year with the... The hernia. No, I'm kidding. That'd be like the bonus one. No one but me and maybe my boss really care about that one.
Yeah, that's a treat for all of us. Absolutely. Your treasure.
No, I'm going to go along the same lines pitching and say Carlos Rodon. What does Carlos Rodon look like going into spring training? This is the first offseason where he's not had to worry about, aside from just the maintenance exercises, any kind of rehab off of surgery, off of a shortened season from being injured. And, you know, I would guess, barring something unexpected, he's going to be the opening day starter for this team. I know he has a good relationship with the clubhouse overall. Is he ready to kind of not necessarily take the next step to be Mark Burley or Chris Sale? That's a huge jump. But just to kind of elevate his game and be a steady performer.
Make 30 starts.
Exactly. Yeah. Just go through the season. And even last year, he had some moments where you thought, man, you put this guy with Kopech and Cease and whoever else comes along, Lopez, unreal, and then he had just a miserable finish this season. So, you know, it's kind of back and forth which one. So I want to see what Carlos Rodon, soon to be a family man too, you know, his wife is expecting. So a lot of good things happening for him. See how that manifests itself and how he performs.
It's a big year. It's a make or break year for Rodon. Yeah. Mine is in relation to what both of you said. I have starting pitching in general. Right now, I think there's a lot of question marks just about the durability of a staff that quite frankly has four pitchers that you know of going into spring training. And we have, I mean, and, you know, Rick has been saying this for weeks, but Manny Banuelos and Dylan Covey right now seem to be the two guys vying for the fifth starter. I'd be stunned if either one of them actually got it. Would you?
I'll put it this way. I wouldn't be stunned if Manny Banuelos was the fifth starter by the end of spring training because they are speaking very highly of him.
True.
And it's possible that he is the best pitcher, the best fifth pitcher in camp. That being said, I will be stunned if there is not a good deal more competition added to that twosome. I think we'll see something along the lines of what we saw last year right when camp opened up when they signed Hector Santiago to a minor league deal. I think with the big number of free agents still out there unsigned, you could see two or three of those guys added on minor league deals just to provide depth. They also don't really have a long reliever right now either. And so
I really think Dylan Covey is going to be a reliever.
And that's fine.
So I think it speaks to what you said. If it's not Dylan, if they add someone else who can be the fifth starter, then Banuelos probably becomes the long reliever of that team.
I think depth regardless.
Banuelos, to steal from the great Hawk Harrelson, is kind of a White Sox special, right? I mean, they love these guys who were once top prospects, once can't-miss guys, and, you know, a guy like Gavin Floyd comes to mind right away.
Yep.
Kind of faltered a little bit, and now here we go. Give him to Don Cooper, give him a second chance, maybe give him another pitch, and see what happens. But I do agree that I think, you know, you were talking about the starters. You have Nova, Rodon, Lopez, Giolito.
You're expecting everyone to take a big step.
Right. And I think there is.
I don't think there's not a lot of depth.
There's a lot of youthful depth,
sure,
but not
absolutely.
Depth that's going to help in 2019.
Organizational depth, for sure.
Cease, as Vinny mentioned, later.
Yep.
Even if they sign Machado and Harper somehow.
If they sign Machado, would you expect there to be a bigger name brought in as a starting pitcher? Could they sign Gio Gonzalez or?
Well, I mean,
is Gio Gonzalez that much bigger of a name than the?
No, it's more veteran depth.
You know, it's funny. I looked at Gio's numbers the other day, and Gio's numbers are pretty decent over time. But the Sox certainly know all about him. They've traded him twice, right? They drafted him and traded him twice,
There's
so they know what they're getting. Now, granted, they haven't seen the more finished version of Gio Gonzalez. That has all happened as a younger pitcher, but. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see like a Dallas Keuchel come in if they sign Machado or Harper.
No,
but I think, as Vinny said, there's plenty of options out there where you could even sign a guy to a one-year deal and have a guy compete for the fifth starter spot.
And you can probably get some of these guys that you thought it would take a one or a two-year contract on a minor league contract right now. I mean, that's just how the market is playing out.
What about I saw MLB Trade Rumors list some under the radar, like a Clay Buchholz, not a bad guy.
That would be a White Sox special.
To put in as a fifth starter.
Absolutely,
you have so much. young pitching depth, and you have Michael Kopech coming back next year. You have Cease coming up this year.
Dane Dunning's there. I mean,
you don't really need a guy that you need for 3 or 4 years.
No.
You think you have
those bridge guys. Yeah.
Exactly. Like Nova. Nova's a great
guy. I'm looking at it as more protection for Lopez and Giolito.
Right.
Those guys, like, it'd be nice to have some. If they need to skip a start or something.
Well,
point during the year.
You had James Shields, Lucas Giolito, and Reynaldo Lopez all make all of their starts last season.
Right. Yeah, good point.
That's a blessing of health.
Good point.
If they do not have the same luck with injuries in the starting rotation, who's going
to
fill those spots?
Yeah, I think that goes back to what Merck said earlier about Carlos Rodon. You're really going to rely on him this year. All right, storyline number two. Merck, let's start with you this time.
We're going this way.
Yeah.
I would think two has got to be kind of a slash Jimenez Moncada. Now, granted, Moncada is just, you're just going to get an early feel for it. As I was joking with someone earlier, spring training doesn't exactly give you an exact idea of what's going to happen. Jeff Kepinger, not to pick on him, not that he cares.
It's okay.
But his first spring training, he had 455 and didn't really care that over into the season. But I think we'll see with Moncada the changes that he made. And good for Moncada that he was able to handle a rough first year. You know, some good points. It wasn't like he hit 180 and was lost the whole year. Some good points, a lot of down points, at 217 strikeouts have been focused on a lot. But went to Ricky and Todd Steverson at the end of the year and said, let's work on this. Let's fix this.
Yet.
Yeah, let's do it. So he came to Arizona for a cut for 10 days, I think. And we'll see those changes, and you'll see the approach in spring training. And then Jimenez is just, I think, out of excitement for everyone, right? That now it's no longer going to be, geez, is he going to be a September call-up? What's going to happen? It's either breaks camp or is there in mid-April, and let's go. Here we go, off to the races.
Yeah, I had Eloy as my number one. I really think that whether they sign Machado or Harper or none of them, this is the year of Eloy Jimenez regardless. He is the most important thing to the future of this franchise right now. He is a guy who there is a lot of expectations on, and I think at least in the fan base, those expectations are higher because of the guy you mentioned, Yoan Moncada, and what he did in his first full season in the major leagues last year. I mean, I think people were certainly unfair in some of their criticism of Moncada, but the results were what they were. And I think if Eloy Jimenez puts up similar results, people are going to start freaking out. Now, Eloy Jimenez is probably closer to being a finished product, perhaps, than Yoan Moncada is, just with what he's been able to do in the minor leagues. But I think this season is all about Eloy, and I would be excited to see if he hits the ground running in spring training, even if he's not going to be on the opening day.
And that's the thing no one really knows about prospects, right? You could have the great rebuild you could have with the Cubs had, what the Astros had. But I think Jerry Reinsdorf told this to Chuck, like, before the rebuild even started at one of the winter meetings about you need to get, like, 20 of these guys to make sure 5 or 6 go through all the way. And who figured that Jake Berger, who, from everyone talking to everyone, the ball just sounds different off his bat. You hear that kind of buzz phrase. And then the poor kid, tears his Achilles and then tears it a second time. You don't – injuries – you know, as Rick said, development isn't linear. People love that line. So, you know, I mean, you never know.
Yeah, I have Eloy Jimenez as my number two as well. Not if, but when. We're all on the same page there. I think I've went through the calendar, and I think April 9th might be the first eligible day.
Which is that a home game?
It's a home game. They have a lot of day games to start the season.
They do.
It's the middle of the Tampa Bay series. Yeah. So there's a couple options because they go on the road.
But only for the weekend.
Only for the weekend in Yankee Stadium.
In New York.
Yeah.
And then they come
back.
But
you got an off day before that series starts, which is interesting.
What about May 23rd? Vinny, what do we have there?
Got to come to me.
Then they come back, and I believe they play the Royals at home on a Monday night. It just feels good to me, right?
That seems to be the most likely one, in my opinion.
That screams ticket push, doesn't it?
I believe April 15th is
you announce
tax day.
Take your bonus and take it to the ballpark.
Your refund.
Oh, my God, Brooks, we're giving you just a million promotions here. Yeah,
but you announce it on that off day Thursday before the Yankee series. You get everybody excited over the weekend.
So you don't bring him up for the Yankees. You announce on that Thursday he's coming up that Tuesday.
I think you saw what happened when Michael Kopech came up. I mean, to do it at home, not that you wouldn't get that same effect if he was in New York for 3 nights, that you'd still get that rush of people. But everyone wants to be there for the first time lay eyes on him. First time he's in the batter's box.
It makes sense. And Moncada started at home.
Yep.
I think Lopez started at home.
Yep.
Giolito started at home.
It makes sense. Yeah. The fans have been – the one thing that the White Sox have done a really good job at the last 3 years is kind of paying the fans back, so to speak. And I think this is like a big payment.
Any chance they sign one of the two big guys that Jimenez breaks camp with the team, you think?
No.
I don't think
there's a chance.
Why? I mean, why not wait the 10 games?
As Rick said, the goal is not 2019. It's years to come.
And just being, I mean, we've all been around Eloy Mendez now the last few years, but just being down there in the Dominican with him and watching those guys, how they play off of Eloy and back and forth, I mean, how he reacts to them. And the guys who won't be here in 2019, some that won't even be here in 2020, but knowing, like, the Eloy effect and like, wanting him to be – I'm trying to get into with the Eloy, but I just want to say Eloy. It's just so much easier. But, I mean, he's embraced the idea of wanting to be a leader. He talked about it at Sox Fest. And I think he's smart about that. He's like, I don't want to be a leader yet. Like, I want to show leadership capability, but I know that you kind of have to earn that too. So, yeah.
I think years from now – people will be writing like oral histories of that trade between the Cubs and Sox because it's historic. It really is. I mean, the Cubs don't make the playoffs probably the last 2 years. Certainly the first year they got him without Quintana. There's no question. He kind of turned around that second half. But, I mean, in Jimenez and Cease, no offense to the other two guys they got in the trade, you may have perennial, if not all-stars, fulcrums of that rebuild. So this, I mean, for two teams that don't make a lot of trades together, this could end up being historic trade, maybe more so for the Sox, but for both franchises.
I'm sitting in between two writers right now. I wonder if you guys have the early push for that. Maybe I'll do like a behind-the-scenes documentary on
there you
it,
go.
So that'll be fun. All right, number one storyline. You just said yours was Eloy Jimenez. So did we miss number two? Who was your number two then?
Yeah, I'll go out of order. I think mine is going to be Luis Robert.
Okay.
And yeah, I've picked three people who aren't going to be on the team on opening day when camp is over, but I think that's
why I love this.
That's part of what spring training is about too, is seeing these guys and what the future brings. Luis Robert, last year when we were in Glendale, had us pretty excited with just the batting practice sessions with him and Eloy Jimenez and Mike Rodolfo. Watching Robert park some of those balls over the fence was pretty impressive, and then the thumb injuries, and then his season was not what he wanted it to be, not what the White Sox wanted it to be. I would be interested to see if he can pick up where he left off in the Arizona Fall League and just kind of continue to give fans and observers the reason to believe in him, reinforce why they're so excited about him, why the White Sox spent the money they did to acquire him, and show those physical tools that could make him a fulcrum of the rebuild, to borrow a Scott Merkin phrase.
I think the biggest thing for Robert and Jimenez, and what we've seen at the minor league level, is they have to stay healthy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they certainly, when they're healthy.
Jimenez is more, I've always felt like his injuries are more like precautionary type things, whereas
right.
Robert's head, like,
well,
legit.
And it was, you're on the DL for a week and then he's back.
Yeah.
But he did have a significant one at the beginning of the last season, right? When he was lifting weights.
Was it
weights,
the quad or something?
The chest
it was just pack. Yeah. It eliminated a lot of spring training time for him, but I think it only knocked out a week or so. I thought the spring training was
a different thing, and then he hurt himself. I thought we were in Kansas City.
Right, but he didn't miss that many games at the beginning of the season.
I feel like most of his haven't been like really things that have.
Whereas Robert has.
Robert's had legit injury where you've lost chunks of the season.
And I mean, last year was supposed to be his first full year playing minor league baseball in the United States. Before last season started, he had not played a minor league baseball game in the United States.
Right.
And he only got, I think, 50 of them last year?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got a lot. Rick Hahn always talks about the innings base for Dylan Cease, for Michael Kopech in periods of their development. There's a plate appearance base, I think, with Luis Robert that he needs to start building up.
Merrick, what's your number one?
I think number one has to be, I mean, in my mind, do they convert on one of these premium free agents? Do these free agents sign during spring training? Maybe is the other slash part of it. But, and we talked about, Rick said, Rick I thought was very straightforward and eloquent during Sox Fest. And I think people read into it whatever they wanted to see in it. People who think that Machado is coming 100%, and some people who even believe that they're both signing with the Sox, which I don't think is going to happen.
No.
Thought that Rick was setting it up for this is a foregone conclusion, he's coming soon. People who don't believe it are like, oh, he's softening the fall, it's not going to happen, they missed again or whatever. But I think he laid it all out there. They're in it. The market has helped them, certainly. There's no question. And I think they believe they can convert on one of these two guys. I think Harper is a little different from Machado. Harper is kind of a national name brand.
Yeah.
Whereas Machado is. But the thing I don't get is, I get questions about this for the mailbag we do and just in general about people are like, oh, did you see what Machado did and what he said? There's a lot of people who in life, not even being interviewed, who are like, ah, I wish I didn't say that, And probably going back, he would have just kept that to himself. Manny Machado is an all-star, perennial all-star, one of the best players in the game. You head him to any team, including the Dodgers last year, who were already really good, and you improve the team. So let's just drop that he's not going to hustle, he's not going to do this. You add either one of those guys, and it's a great addition to the team. So I think that's the biggest thing is if and when do these guys choose, and are the White Sox one of the teams they choose?
My number one is the Manny Machado effect, and it goes both ways. whenever it happens, if it happens with the White Sox, the effect of just the madness of bringing in the talent, like of that, the magnitude, the contract, and everything, the spotlight, really. You're bringing the spotlight onto the South Side and the attention, and it's going to expectation. Everything's going to change. Expectations for 2019 will change, whether that's right or wrong. They will change, even though I still believe adding Manny Machado is probably, you're probably closer to 500 than anything else. But what it would do for the future of the rebuild and for the guys who are going to be a part of it, you know, it's a springboard into 2020 and beyond. Now, the flip side of that is if they don't land him, the Manny Machado effect of all of the guys that have been talked about, you know, the Tim Andersons, all the guys at Sox Fest that we just, everybody had an answer, and a great answer. Yonder Alonso talking about adding his brother-in-law. And I thought everyone has been so graceful and great about how they've handled this situation. At some point, it's going to get annoying. Like, if it gets into March 1st and you're going to Tim Anderson, or somebody's going to Tim Anderson, a local reporter is asking about Manny Machado, it's going to piss these guys off. And it would. Like at some point, it's like either you're here or you're not. I think the effect of not having Manny Machado might feel more of like a sigh of relief for the players, and just like, not relief, but kind of like, okay, he's not here. Now we just keep doing what we do. It might be more of a media and fan base thing, but the Manny Machado effect certainly to me is the number one storyline going into camp, just because there's so many things that could change.
Certainly fan base. Fan base, I mean, there will be just a requisite uproar if he doesn't, if he goes somewhere
else.
Especially if it's for, you know, a level where they believe the Sox should have gone that, monetarily.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I agree with you. But, yeah. Ryan, you've traveled with these guys in terms of minor leagues and the Dominican trip a little more. I mean, we see them every day. But, I mean, you know, this is a close-knit group. And, you know,
extremely
they want Machado.
Deep.
They want,
absolutely,
you know, Harper. But I think among the team, if they don't make it, okay,
next guy up.
Let's move on. You know,
totally
I don't think the players are sitting there, you know, refreshing Twitter saying,
have we signed him yet?
You talk to Tim Anderson, who, it's amazing how much Tim Anderson's transformed from, like, when you first talked to him when he was drafted to what he is now. We're, you know, really a team leader, kind of a fiery force of that team. And he believes, you know, they stick together. They have the talent there. They can do something. Now, great, there's going to have to be some veterans in there besides a Yonder Alonso and John Jay and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is the end if Machado or Harper both choose somewhere else.
I agree, and I think that it's hard to explain that to a fan base, and because the way this situation has dragged on for months and months and months, and the White Sox name has just been in it from the beginning, and they're kind of the last man standing here at the end. I understand the frustration and disappointment if you don't land him, but it doesn't blow anything up. This thing is going to be just fine one way or the other, and there are going to be more marquee free agents coming forward. But, again, we don't know. Manny Machado could sign right now during this podcast. We'll blow this whole thing up, too. But we're going to step aside. The Pecota projections are out. We're going to talk about those when we come back with Vinny Duber and Scott Merkin from MLB.com.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/socks. Members FDIC.
Back on the White Sox Talk podcast, you know, I never even mentioned that Chuck Garfine's not here, in case people are wondering, where's Chuck? Well, he's somewhere in the middle of probably Oklahoma right now, en route to spring training. He's driving.
He's on an amazing road trip.
He is.
And see,
you're a big road trip guy.
I'm a big road trip guy.
Did you give him a playlist, like 2 days
worth? I should have.
Yeah, you totally should.
I should have.
His wife's with him, I bet. It would have, like, some of the things that Chuck may have not been into. You have two people. You have two different interests. It would have been nice.
It would have been nice. But, I mean, I was talking this up to him. I'm like, dude, how excited are you? You're going on this road trip. And he's like, I have to be in the car for 8 hours, two straight days. And I'm like,
I would think coming back would be the tougher one.
Totally,
I think
agree.
Going there, you got your time. You could leave a couple days early.
There's a little bit of excitement.
You go. You stop. You see the biggest, the world's largest ball of twine. You see the world's largest
Big
rocking
Ben in
chair.
Parliament. Wrong movie. But coming back, you've been there now for 40 whatever days. And then you got to make – I guess you could always ship your car back. But if you don't do that, you got the 16-hour drive coming back, and that's a little tough.
Well, he has a rental, so he could decide at the end.
Then that's easy then.
Yeah, you could just say, I'll pay the extra, leave it in Phoenix. And
get two one-ways.
He's seeing this great country of ours.
We went to the same high school, so I'm an apt replacement for him on this special podcast.
Yeah, Merck, we had to go home with Flossmore in order to
there's such a dearth of people to choose from.
That's right.
There are. Well, before we get out of here, Pecota projections came out earlier today. And, well, they're not good if you're a White Sox fan. But, again, I wouldn't read too much into this, but it is worth talking about. They projected the White Sox for 70-92. And Vinny, you wrote up some of this stuff on NBCSportsChicago.com. There are a couple things, though, that really stand out in this Pecota projection, because they do go like per, you know, player by player. To me, like, Jose Abreu is one. They project, they basically have him at 22 homers and 79 RBIs, and kind of mirroring last season. But last season he had two freak injuries that kept him out of, I don't know, was it 35, 40 games?
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance that he could have what he had last year. God forbid for him to go through that again, what he had last year.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, he's, when he's healthy for a full season, his numbers are, have been pretty steady across time. So I think that might be a little bit low for him.
I agree.
Yeah, and I, the one that jumps out to me is the starting rotation.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
That seems to be the thing on there that really drags him down, which is weird, because we're talking about this. This is an improvement. This is what their projection is, 8 games better than they were last year.
Yeah, here to interrupt you, here are the ERAs, the projected ERAs to the starters. First of all, this is the one that stands out the most. Ronaldo Lopez going from 3.91 to 4.99. Lucas Giolito to a 4.89, which would be a significant significant drop, but still near 5. Ivan Nova, 4.62, and Carlos Rodon, 4.41. That would be concerning. I just don't see that.
I don't know the whole thing that goes into the procedure, but I mean, Lopez seemed to find something at the end of last year. I could see where there'd be a few questions on Carlos because he finished a little bit. But then again, he might have just been out of gas at that point with all the rehab work he had done too. You know, Nova's a pretty steady 3 or 4 guy.
Yeah.
And then Giolito, the jury's out on. You know, Giolito had some good months and some really, really bad months. So see what, you know, comes out on.
The thing that doesn't mesh with those and what we've seen this offseason is a lot of the moves that Rick Hahn has made, I think it's pretty unanimous that they're improvements.
Absolutely.
You know, Yonder Alonso, John Jay, the two guys in the bullpen. I mean, these are improvements.
I think just real quickly, that's lost when people talk about Yonder Alonso being Manny Machado's brother-in-law and John Jay being Manny's friend. Both good players. Both will help the team, and both fit the rebuild in that they kind of give the other prospects time to develop while they're contributing on the major league level.
But absolutely. Then you look at the projections for those additions.
Yeah, Alonso,
and they're
13
way
homers.
Off. You got back-to-back years for Alonso with 20 homers. They've got him at 13.
Yeah.
You got Herrera's ERA jumping up a full point.
Yeah,
Herrera
going
Nova
from,
and Nova.
No, Herrera
and,
going 2 full points from 2.44 to 4.48. The one that does stand out as a possible that's closer to maybe realistic than any of these is Eloy Jimenez, which the slash line on Eloy is 281, 321, 475, 20 homers, 62 RBIs.
That seems to make, I mean, that makes pretty decent sense, right?
I think
going to be some growth for him.
I know people listening might be like, what? Like, he's going to hit 30. You know, like,
I think he's probably going to hit more than 20 home runs.
I think his on base of 321 is going to be higher.
Yeah, it was really high last year.
I think
in the
it's
going to
be higher.
So.
The 281, like, if he hits 281 in his rookie year, it's pretty.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good rookie year. I mean, he's going to adjust. People are going to adjust to him.
I think the hopes and dreams of him already are so high, and he hasn't even seen one regular season pitch
yet.
So, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs. But, yeah, I think the numbers are rightfully high on
him. He said he wants to be the rookie of the year. That would put him in the conversation, those numbers.
You would have to imagine.
I guess rookie of the year is one that doesn't necessarily depend on the team as much. That's an award that usually, if just the numbers are good, you can win.
I mean, the last few years, the guys who have won that award, there's not been much competition because there's been some standout performances.
Right.
So, I don't know. He could just come up and hit 330, hit 35 bombs. And
if he can pitch, too, you really got something.
Then
you got to lock down, probably.
Oh, two ways. The new Matt Davidson?
The new Matt Davidson. Hey, you saw what Otani did last year.
I'm pretty sure Rick is going to poo-poo that at any point.
I think Coop's a big fan of the two-way guy, unless you really have – I think he enjoyed Davidson's three outings. I don't think he saw Matt, and good luck to Matt in Texas. It'd be a great story if you do it.
Absolutely.
I don't think he saw him as, you know, that Otani light type of guy.
No. Well, Merck, safe travels down
Thank you.
To
Glendale. Hopefully.
Vinny,
it won't be
you
long.
The same?
It won't be long until we're standing on a corner in Glendale, Arizona.
In Glendale.
Just a few days from now. Yeah.
Winslow, not going to happen. Too far away.
That's a drive. That's
favorite,
a drive.
Before we go, favorite meal you're looking forward to the most?
You know, it's funny. I was just saying this year, I like White Chocolate Grill, which is in, it's like off the 101. It's in Scottsdale. It's like right, but there's a White Chocolate Grill in Naperville, so I don't know why I like that so much in Arizona.
Like,
but
have you heard this place called Maggiano's?
Yeah, this pizza place called Lumalnati. Yeah. I found out there.
Merck's the guy that goes all the way to Mesa and goes to the Portillo's.
Yeah, but no, the White Chocolate Grill is a good restaurant. I'm not as big a Don and Charlie, although this is like the last year for Don and Charlie.
Oh, I think they are tearing it down. I may have to stop in.
That might be a place too.
I've taken a few years off. But.
Yeah, and of course in tribute to Dan Hayes, who's in California, you got to stop at In-N-Out. I'm sorry, he's in Florida for spring training.
Yeah,
In-N-Out Burger, which is right down the street from Camelback.
That is,
I've got a line of credit at that Glendale In-N-Out already.
Will that be your first stop?
Oh, of course. The what's the over under though for the 2 weeks? That's really the thing.
I'm going to set it at 7.5.
All right.
Dan even went as far.
Is that
as
too to, high? I think that's pretty.
It seems a little high.
But I know we'll see.
There were times in games where someone would make a run like a couple years ago. You know, forget the lunch that you were having there.
Great idea.
Well, guys, look forward to seeing you down in Glendale, and let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with these storylines, and let's see. If Manny Machado will be doing this with Manny Machado soon, hopefully.
You never know.
Chuck can listen to this as he finishes off the drive.
I think I'm going to text him. He's on his way to Albuquerque right now.
Okay.
So he's got probably another good five hours.
Hopefully he doesn't take a wrong turn in Albuquerque.
I spent a week in Albuquerque one night.
He told me he was looking for Al. That's what he was going to look for Al. So, this has been the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking. Check out their special White Sox website at www.wintrust.com/socks. And as always, Paul Carroll, take it away.
And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.